Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
Welcome back, everybody. Taxation is... You want to fill in the blank on this one?
Theft! They're stealing your money!
Yes, and welcome back. Today I have an awesome guest with me, Jedi Hill. Yes, that is his real name. Even more real than mine, because it was given to him at birth, right?
Yes, yeah, short for Jedediah. So first four letters are J-E-D-I. How can you not be the Jedi?
Right.
And thank you so much for having me on, Dan, here. I'm really excited. You know, always nice connecting with other people on the freedom train, trying to wake people up, open their minds so we can restore what freedoms we had and even expand them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great to have you on. And so I didn't know much about you before before that Olean debate, and then I met you there and I saw some of the things you had to say, and I was actually really impressed by some of that. So because you were talking about, well, before I get into that, let me just do a couple little plugs right here. Make sure to like and share this video, start a watch party, share it with all your friends, comment and ask questions. If you're watching this live right now, which if you're watching it recorded, you might not know if you're watching it live or not, but if you're watching it live right now, ask your questions and we'll try to answer them. So we were at this Olean debate, and I heard some really cool things that I usually, when I hear them, they're in kind of like, as much as libertarians are kind of like shoveled into this little corner of like, oh yeah, don't talk to those people, they're weird. There's another group of people, and those are the people who are, in a way, they're kind of the entrepreneurs who follow like the Napoleon Hill thought group, and you know, it's I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with The Secret, and Napoleon Hill was like, he wrote the version of that like 100 years ago, and it's really his thing is mostly on wealth building, but it really applies to everything, whether it's your relationships, you're building your campaign, changing the political landscape and conversation. It really has to do with everything in life. And of course that mentality is often shoveled into a corner of like, oh yeah, those people are weird. They think like, if you imagine the stoplight turning green, then all of the lights will be green, which is not exactly how it works. But yeah, so it was really awesome to hear you talk about that stuff. Cause I used to be a seminar junkie and go to a lot of these like, self-development, entrepreneur, get rich quick schemes. And yes, there were lots of scammers in those things, but there also were a lot of people who had legitimate information. And, it's something that I don't really hear a lot of in the Libertarian Party, which is weird because you would think a lot of libertarians are really interested in building businesses and building wealth and being independent and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I think they go together.
I feel you. It's actually fascinated me because so many of the libertarians I talk to are just angry people that hate their lives.
Well, I'm an angry person who hates the government.
Well, like I'm saying, they're poor, they're broke, they want more freedom, but they're not willing to do anything about it. You know, right. The keyboard warriors is the word. No, don't get me wrong. There are many, many very strong activists and things like that that really, really work hard in the party, you know, pushing towards legalization and all these different issues. But I'm reminded of Earl Nightingale. And if you haven't listened to The Stranger Secret by Earl Nightingale, I highly recommend it. And he said, all men are self-made, but only the successful admit it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, it's so easy to like blame the government and corporations and shit. My camera just turned out because my dogs, I think, ran over the cable or something. I don't know.
We still hear you, at least.
I've got there it goes. I've got like a I'm Yeah, I've ordered some replacement HDMI cables because I've got some issues over here. But yeah, it really is like, you know, a lot of people, it's easy to blame government. It's easy to blame corporations and circumstances. And oh, yeah, if it weren't for that damn cop, and, you know, it's really easy to do that. But at the same time, it's like if we take responsibility for where we are, we can change a lot of those things. We just have to. It really is all in our heads, because when we're blaming other people, we're not taking responsibility for where we are in life. And even though, like, we're not changing those other people or those other circumstances, we are being aware of what they are, and we're kind of playing a better game of life in order to produce better results for ourselves. And I think that's really important, because, you know, as libertarians, even if we don't want to become billionaires, we do want to be successful at what we're doing. We do want to get the libertarian message out to a lot of people. We do want to encourage other people to live a libertarian lifestyle and everything else. And if we understand what the game is and we play the game better and we take responsibility for all of the positions that we're in, then absolutely we can create better results for other people that are associated with the party and the results of the party itself, as far as, you know, how far it's going and the success it's having, onboarding new people, spreading the word, getting into the media, you know, all these other goals that we have. These are success goals that we have to meet if we're going to keep moving the ball forward.
I absolutely agree. And it all starts with the individual. And that's why, like, my book, Alchemy the Master's Path, is all about that individual responsibility. You might not be able to change how they're acting, but when you change how you react, you start changing things around. Like, just being too excited, too depressed, too angry for even a minute, with the high levels of cortisol in your body, you cut your IQ in half. You know, you're wasting the energy, and being angry for a mere 2 to 3 minutes will cut your immune system in half for the next 6 to 8 hours.
Wow.
But yet a solid minute of laughter will double it, the immune response, for the next 24.
So tell me something funny and get my immune system up. I want to make sure I don't get that flu.
Exactly. You all got to figure out, everybody's got their own sense of humor, you know, whether it's a little twisted or whatever the case may be.
Like, yeah.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, like, people don't, like, okay, we all have jobs. Most of us hate them. But they here's the thing. They can either give you stress or they cannot give you stress. Here's a funny story that happened to me yesterday at work, right? Because I still have like a 9-to-5 corporate type job. But I work remote, right? So I'm never in the office. I'm just always online through my computer. And they were changing some things and they didn't update my profile. And so I basically got locked out of everything, right? So I wasn't online. I couldn't get into the chats. I couldn't get into the emails. People couldn't find me and send me messages. It was as if I had completely disappeared. And all these
memory hold.
Yeah. And all these rumors and conversations started going around. And somebody said something to the effect of, like, you know, like, yeah, it's really depressing working here. He probably just got tired of it and left. And I was just sitting here like, okay, well, if I can't do any work for the next hour, I guess, you know, I'll take my dogs for a little bit longer walk. I'm over here having a great time. And everybody's like, oh my God, what happened? He must've been depressed. He must've been fired. Like, and it's like, it's exactly like what you said. It's how do you react? And so I get back in and I'm like, okay, well, I'm back in, back to work. And I start doing some things and everyone's just like, oh my God, we thought, and it's all of these thoughts going through your head, just like you said, it affects your immune system. It affects everything else. And like, people don't understand. I try to tell this to so many people, and I know how it sounds like you're selling snake oil, but
it does, especially when you're trying to do it with integrity. Like, I look at the snake oil salesman, like your Tony Robbins and, you know, your Oprah's and all the other ones that are like really famous. And don't get me wrong, they do have some good pointers. But yet again, they're trying to tell you what to think and override and take control instead of giving you the tools so you can learn how to think for yourself.
Right. Yeah, it's and this is funny. I actually had Dr. Mary Ruart on the show a while ago, and I said something about snake oil, and she was like, well, let me stop you right there. She was like, there actually are some health benefits to snake oil, but like this whole thing came about because like big pharmaceutical companies, I mean, think about it. Like we take fish oil, right? For like vitamin D3 or something like that. We take fish oil. And it's like, what's the difference between fish oil and snake oil? Like, and so like apparently the big pharmaceutical companies were just like, yeah, we got to ban that because, you know, we want to sell them our stuff, which can only be made in a factory and they can't make it home by juicing.
Well, the same
their own
way
fish.
With the cannabis. If you go back to 1900, over half of the pharmaceuticals in the country had some form of cannabis extract. And part of the reason that the cannabis, the hemp, the marijuana, whatever you want to call it, I don't care, has such a good medicinal benefit is it's actually been a major source of our food supply for thousands of years. Like the body's built with all kinds of cannabinoid receptors to react with it.
Right.
Like until the 1930s, we used it in food, we used it in clothing, we used it in everything. And when you take it out of the diet, suddenly people start having more health issues. You put it in the diet and suddenly, oh, even cancer goes away.
Right. Yeah, no, it's amazing when you look at it. And it really is like I was thinking about this today because like people don't give diet enough credit for things either. And, you know, when I was younger, I saw that documentary Super Size Me where this guy, he was eating McDonald's for, you know, 30 days straight and he was getting depressed. He was feeling slow. And at that time I was eating mostly fast food. I would work my job, you know, get my hour lunch break, run off to like Carl's Jr., get some fast food and that was it. And then on my way home from work too, get some drive through, right? Cause it's fast and easy. And I saw this and I was like, okay, let me stop eating fast food. And I did it for 30 days of not eating fast food. And I was like, yeah, I actually feel better. Like I feel more active, more energetic. Mm-hmm. I don't feel depressed like I used to. And I was like, wow, that really is like, I really was feeling these effects. And, it could have been placebo, but I think it does have, I mean, look, this was something I was thinking about earlier today. I have this dog who, when I adopted him, I was actually at a friend's house and it was his roommate and he was like stuck in a cage. Right. And that was the thing. Cause his roommate was always out at work. This little puppy was like stuck in his cage all day, all night, you know, wants to get out and play, but he's sitting there depressed. And then I was like, you know, and this guy didn't even really want the dog, right? He basically bought it for his girlfriend. He broke up with his girlfriend and he took it from his girlfriend so that his girlfriend couldn't be happy. So I was like, okay,
what a douchebag.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, look, you don't want the dog. I'll take him. I had another dog. I was like about the same size. They'll be great friends. So I took him and he was like, and here's a bag of dog food. And it was like, I don't remember what it was, but it was like, I started reading the ingredients and it was basically a bag of shit. And so what's interesting is this dog, I mean, you know, you breed dogs after a while and they start getting all these weird genetic mutations and everything. This dog had this thing where like his arms are kind of like out like this, and it's actually really common, but it's like, it's something to do with their bone structure and how they grow. His arms were out there like that. And I was thinking about this today. They're not really out there like that anymore. And really all that's changed is one, he's not in a cage all day, so he's much happier. And he's been eating, because I get like more like, you know, at Costco, they have like a dog food where like the main ingredients are like chicken and lamb instead of like corn and shit. And so like, so really that's all that's changed. We haven't been giving him medication. We have like, you know, what could have possibly changed this that would change his actual, you know, how his bone structure is.
Well, to give you, cause I've actually been through this myself. I had got smashed by a semi and blew this shoulder from here all the way down to the nipple level. The doctors wanted to do a complete reconstruction surgery
Facebook,
on it.
We said nipple.
They wanted to do a complete reconstruction surgery on it. And I'm like, no way am I doing that at 21 years old. I'm not going to have a surgery every 5 years. I will figure out how to fix this myself. I had went to Colorado, worked with osteopaths, chiropractors, acupuncturists, other healers, and, you know, kept going into the nutrition side of things, had specific supplements like glucosamine chondroitin, CoQ10, and then use grapeseed oil, which works like the synovial fluid in the joint. And within a year of doing this and rehabbing and doing stretching and movements, it stops popping out of socket. Now I can actually, you know, do bench press and things like that. I'm not up to my like 400 pounds I used to be, but I can still throw 250 plus on the bench, which is more than the average guy can anyways.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been up to 400. It really is amazing. And it's, you know, we have like our health class in school, and they don't teach us any of this shit. They don't teach us how any of the foods react with our bodies. All I remember from like, you know, these school, what they would teach us in public school is cheese and meat and vegetables, and which mm-hmm. they would tell us things were vegetables. They would tell us that cucumbers and tomatoes are vegetables, which they're not, they're fruits.
Well, and then even beyond that, it was paid for by the food industries. Mm-hmm. Like, and when they switched to the food pyramid, they put the breads and grains, and it's actually supposed to be opposite. If you just took the bottom of the pyramid off and throw the breads and grains away, you actually start to have a fairly decent health ratio for the food. And they've shown that with the proper nutrients, you can turn on and off specific genes. So you can regulate disease, you can affect your mood. You know, for the people with bipolar, schizophrenia, and everything else, they've disproven the brain chemical imbalance, but yet they've also shown that with the proper nutritions work better than the drugs do. So that's right. Where, like, with my end of the campaign, fixing our food supply is one of the major things. Like, if we just get all the toxic chemicals out of the food supply, within 3 to 4 years, Medicare and Medicaid spending would be down by a third to half just from that. And that's not doing anything to fix the messed up medical field.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge thing. Like, people don't understand that as much as people like sit there and fight over how much the government needs to pay for healthcare and everything, it's like diabetes and heart disease are, I think, the two biggest, aside from cancer. I think cancer is the third, or I don't know what order they're in, but those are two out of three of the biggest killers. Yeah. And it's like, these are things that you can absolutely fix by changing your lifestyle and your diet. So why don't you?
Well, A, most people don't have the knowledge. B, they don't have the budgets because eating organic and everything is way more expensive. C, even when you try and eat better, they've tested Monsanto's glufosinate, which that company needs shut down for crimes against humanity and all those execs jailed, which will be day one executive order. They, like, for wheat, it is sprayed on the wheat 2 days before harvest and just mixed right into the flour, which is why so many people are gluten intolerant now. It has been found in almost every beer and wine produced in America, even the organic varieties, and it has poisoned the food and the water supply. Like, yeah. It's almost impossible. Like, you have heavy metals like aluminum in your deodorant. Like, for your dogs, you can't buy an aluminum dog bowl because it gives them seizures. Yet, poor people are still getting to use aluminum cookware that has been linked to Alzheimer's and countless other things.
Yep. Yeah, it really is mind-blowing. And at the same time, you know, as libertarians, we don't want to advocate for a government to ban aluminum cookware, but we do want people to have this knowledge. I mean, like, if the whole point of school is to make us smarter people so we can live better lives.
That's not the point of school, but
yeah. I mean, like, that's kind of what the government sells it as. And depending on what the level of school too. I mean, yeah. What did you really learn in high school or middle school that you brought with you? Right. A little bit of history, but I don't know. I learned more about that from watching the History Channel. A little bit of math, how to read and write. Okay, sure. But like, is that really worth the cost of, How much did your K-12 education cost? Isn't it like $90,000 a year per student that it costs?
Oh, It's insane. Each town and things a little bit different, so it's not completely standard.
But it's like, we're talking $5 to $10 million that they spent on educating us from K through 12.
Mm-hmm. To, well, you got to remember, this was started in pre-industrial revolution, and they wanted you to be just smart enough to push a button, mm-hmm. move a lever, and not ask line. Don't ask why am I pushing this button.
Right.
And that is how school is still structured. That's why they don't teach about money. Like, they used to at least teach you how to balance a checkbook just so you could be a good citizen. Mm-hmm. But they don't teach you about...
Which they don't teach you.
But they don't teach you any interest or business. Like, I highly recommend anybody listen to this. Check out Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert mm-hmm. Kiyosaki.
I agree.
It is the best book on accounting you will find to, like, make it a little more simple and relatable. And I would love to have him in the finance departments and that when any of us get into the White House.
Absolutely. He actually wrote, he wrote some other books, and like a lot of them seem to be like saying the same thing, but he wrote one that I found. I'm not sure if he authored it or if it was just published under his brand, but it's called The Conspiracy of the Rich. I want to say he did write it himself, but it's he starts talking about the Federal Reserve and some other stuff. It was really interesting.
I've been very iffy on touching the Federal Reserve topic because I personally feel that no, it's not that. Like, if Trump really had the balls, he could do away with the Federal Reserve before he's done as president mm-hmm. with one executive order.
Oh, so you don't want him to steal your thunder?
Oh, no, I would love it if he did that, but and luckily we're not big enough on the mainstream media yet, so I'll be a little more comfortable here. But that's where Ron Paul messed up, is he went directly after attacking over and over and over again in his videos. And it's like, just shut up about the Fed and focus on the other topics. Then do what you want after you're in office.
So, but I mean, like, what do you think was so bad about that? Do you think it hurt public opinion, or did it hurt his media and that sort of thing? His
Exactly. It hurt his media exposure and got him blackballed by the media.
Interesting. Well, I mean, look at the bright side. Libertarians are already blackballed, so it's kind of, a no-lose scenario.
It is. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, I know you know this and many other viewers, it's an illegal corporation running the money.
Yeah.
So you could quite easily just have, what is it, 22 or 23 trillion dollar platinum coins made, have them dropped off at the Federal Reserve and say, you are illegal here. You're paid in full. Goodbye. Get out of our country in the next 24 to 48 hours or go to jail.
I'm more aggressive. I'm just like, we're not going to pay you. And
it's all fiat monopoly money anyways.
Yeah, because here's the way I see it. If we were to print those $1 trillion coins, then that ultimately somehow, especially because of legal tender laws, they would actually be valued at that. They'd deposit into some other bank and it would ultimately inflate the currency a tremendous amount. So
that was just one option of ways we can do away with the Fed. And that was trying to hold, because if you do it in the U.S. tender for the Federal Reserve, you know, paying them back with their own tender, and then immediately afterwards, you bring the U.S. back to its own currency.
So those
put it on the gold standard. Exactly.
Then
it doesn't inflate the currency because you threw us back on the gold standard at the same time. And that is where the executive order would be, to put us back on the gold standard.
That's not a bad idea. it's because, I mean, look, here's the swindle, man.
And then, like, the U.S. paid its debts and didn't devalue its currency at the same time.
Right. But here's part of the confusion, right? Because a U.S. dollar is a thing and a Federal Reserve note is a thing, and they just happen to be the same thing. But if you divide them, the legal tender laws really, they don't say you have to accept Federal Reserve notes. They say you have to accept U.S. dollars. And yes. So if we divide that, does the we I guess we have to look at the terms of the contracts that that the Federal Reserve lent to the United States. If they say all we have to pay back is Federal Reserve notes, then yeah, let's just print a shit ton of those that no longer say US dollar on them and call it a day. But at the same time, does the US have the authority to print reserve notes for a private bank without their authority? I think that's like the U.S. Treasury can absolutely print as many dollars as it wants, but can it print as many Federal Reserve notes as it wants without their permission? Which is like,
oh, my view on this is it's better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, no. And that's why I say just tell them to fuck off and we're not going to pay you. Because
the smart ass in me, just the idea like here's your bag of coins, get out of our country.
Right. Yeah, I mean, or you just write them a shitty, sloppy IOU on a napkin or a piece of toilet paper and be here you go. That'll work. It's, trust us, you can deposit it in any bank.
But until somebody has the balls to do something like that, the bigger thing is like, let's look at how we can work within the system and build freedom. And as we're looking from the individual level, the big thing with the libertarian is getting people to help themselves, helping people help themselves.
Right. Yeah. And okay. So let me go back to this. Cause I think that is a real good point. And I talk about this all the time, how if we were, so let's say for example, I were to just come in and say, I'm president and that worked, I'd be voted out and the entire system would be replaced because the people want what we have. And so until we change the people's minds to where they want a libertarian type leader or a libertarian type government or society without government, whatever it is, until they want that, we're not going to have it. And so something that you said in your Olean, one of your Olean speeches was about how, you wanted people to learn to, build their own riches, right? Build their own life. And what's really, and I don't know if it came from that or how I started getting off this path, but like, I always get this question. Well, what are you going to do about Social Security? Right? Because as libertarians, Social Security shouldn't exist, but you
have the obligations for the old people that can't work. You can't just cut off people that are going to die in a year or two anyways.
Exactly. And like, and here's the other thing, like you look at it like, oh, I thought libertarians were the people who just wanted to leave people alone. Well, why are you trying to take away my Social Security? To them, you're not leaving them alone. You're setting them up for failure.
And that's where my plan came in for that one.
So let me hear about your plan. Cause I want to kind of compare that to what I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks.
And please feel free to share this. Like, these are not just my ideas. This is what we do to grow the party, and let's build a platform that actually appeals to the masses.
And this is what I love about like our current group of presidential candidates is we have that mentality. Like, most of it, we're not fighting each other. We're not trying to stab each other in the back, except for maybe a couple that aren't well liked. But that's mostly the party. I'm not even attacking them. But it's for the
most
part,
it's not worth the energy.
Yeah. We're sharing ideas. We're learning from each other. We're growing. And like, that's why I've got you on the podcast. That's why we have all these group discussions that usually turn out to be more like discussions than debates. Cause it's not about you're wrong, you're wrong. It's like, it's more like about, oh yeah, that's a great idea. Let's add to that. So, but yeah, so go on.
Social Security is a fun thing. Okay. It's not enough money to live for the average person. It's really not. The ones who are hit hardest are where it was like a husband and wife. And, they're making $2,000-ish, $2,500. And then the husband dies and now the wife's making $900 a month. She's got just enough. She can pay her rent and utilities this month or she can eat this month. And she's going back and forth. Like, I've literally watched old ladies in the grocery store. It's like, oh my God, a can of corn went up 5 cents. That means I got to skip three more meals this month.
Yeah, that's insane. Because on top of that, they're paying, a lot of them are still paying rent. If they own a home, they're still paying property tax. Even if they get, sometimes they'll get like some sort of a credit, but I don't think anybody gets their property tax completely gone. I think that's very similar to like what, what I'm suggesting is like, so for people who are, because we still have a lot of really young voters who are like 20s, 30s, 40s, we can tell them, look, from this point forward, if you were to take all the money that you would continue to put into Social Security for the next 20, 30, 40 years.
And just put it even in government bonds that are very low interest.
Anywhere else.
You'd still do better.
You'd do better. And I mean, and that's the thing. Like you, I've seen old people working at grocery stores. Why? And it's like, okay, well, why? Because it's not because they like people and they want to work at the grocery store. It's not because they want to work at Walmart as a greeter. Mm-hmm. Why? It's because they're getting their Social Security and it's not enough. And so we need to understand that this promise that the government is giving us of Social Security is going to take care of you until you die is stupid. And not only that, you could retire younger. I mean, 65, and they want to raise that to 70, and then they'll want to raise it again to 75, 85. Like, how far are they going to raise it? They're going to...
Well, and the amount of times they rob from it, like I know Indiana robbed several billion dollars of it so they can attack fathers to try and get more child support and stuff from them and use enforcement. Yeah. And every dollar they get to rob from Social Security and all kinds of crazy weird things when you look into it.
And how many times have they said, oh, well, if the president doesn't sign this budget, we're not going to be able to pay you your Social Security this month. Anytime.
Yeah, and it's a completely separate fund that is not connected to it. They're straight up. The only thing they're stopping is the person to push the button that says send at the beginning of the month. That's the person they don't pay so they can try and stop it for a few days.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. And you know, but this is not a position you want to be in. You don't want to live your life, especially when you're older and it's going to be more difficult for you to get a job. You don't want to be stuck in a position where you're depending on the government and they're doing all these same bullshit games that they're doing now. And if you think the government gets worse every year, imagine how bad they're going to be when you retire, if we keep going in this direction anyway.
Oh, exactly. Which is where my plan is. Okay, everybody who's already on it, let's make sure your household income's at least $2,000 a month. And it's only going to hit a small portion of the people on Social Security, mainly, you know, those widows or whatever where the husband died and then they drop down into the poverty level. Or we can work on other things to assist them with housing or whatever to make them equivalent to at least get them at the poverty line instead of below it.
Right. And cut their taxes. I mean, cut their taxes to nothing.
They're getting charged tax on their Social Security. So they already got taxed for it once. Then they're getting taxed for it a second time.
Oh,
so, yeah. So if we just eliminate getting taxed for your Social Security, that's going to give enough of them a raise to at least help out just that.
If they're paying rent, eliminate the property tax that their landlord is paying, because that's usually 20 to 50% of your rent. That's a lot of money. That's a huge amount of money, especially when you're barely making it on Social Security. So get rid of the taxes and things get better. That's just how it works. And plus,
right,
when you start shifting into this thinking, there are so many opportunities for people to help other people. And so many people try to help other people at this point, and the government's just getting in their way and shutting them down, arresting mm-hmm. them, fining them, and all this other shit for feeding the homeless or sheltering the homeless or helping.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Texas and Florida are really bad for that.
It's terrible.
But
and they want us to depend on them.
Yeah, back to Social Security. My plan for this is give everybody – you know, that help the people out that need it. And then for the younger people that aren't on it, if you're under the age of 60, give you the option to opt out and make it automatic opt out for everybody 40 and under. Now, to replace it, because I know this is going to sound cold and I'm not sure how to say this nicely, but the average person does not have financial intelligence. They were not taught how to build business.
Okay, now my battery died. Keep talking.
I'm right here with you. So they were not taught how to build business. So if you just let them have the money outright, they're going to waste it. So what I would like to set up is individualized trust funds for each person. And then you have the right. It's your money that you and your employer put into it. You get to choose how it's invested. Like, let the default be, you know, government bonds or whatever low interest rate stuff. And then you can choose if you want to go for mutual funds, stocks, and things like that.
But I mean, how is this how is this any different than, I mean, it sounds kind of like a 401k, except it's almost kind of government mandated at this point.
Well, it's switching. It's getting people to have something, but the difference is where you can pull it out. You can borrow against it tax-free, interest-free, penalty-free to purchase real estate or to start a business. Because the small business is what has pulled America out of every issue we have had. And if you're willing to risk your retirement to help build business and create jobs for other people, I feel you deserve that chance. So yeah, there are some people that will just use it like a 401k, but then as more people get educated and, you know, smarter about it, they'll be using it to buy their houses, have them paid off. They'll be using it to build businesses and build the local economies. And within 2 to 3 years, you would see such a huge boom in business because there's so many people. It's like, oh, my credit sucks. I can't even get, you know, this little, I want to be a barber or a baker or whatever. And I just need this little 5 to 10 grand to get things going. And see if I can do it and do my passions and do what I love.
Right.
And this would give everybody that gets through the cracks, especially the ethnic populations and that have, you know, historically harder to get loans. It would give them be borrowing their own money to take a chance for their future. And when they know it's their own money on the line, they're going to be more dedicated, more passionate about what they're going after.
Right. It's okay, there we go. I'm back. Oh, well, I'm back on the live stream, mm-hmm. but I'm not back for you. Hang on a second. I just
Hey, we're getting there step by step.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that is there we go. That is really interesting, and it's you know, to some degree, I mean, we want people to be financially educated, right? We want people to understand how money works and how to make it work for them, how to save their money, how to invest in their own future. We need that kind of education. And so I think the question is, how do you educate a massive amount of people without creating another government program, of course, with
well, this is where going to people like I have faith in men, you know, in the hearts of men. And I know people like Warren Buffett and Robert Kiyosaki from the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, Grant Cardone and others will let us section off some of the information they've already used to teach. And we can just create a free online training website where you can get the base financials of all of them. And then all the people that, you know, do good participation, help it, you know, let them sell more courses for the people that have already made it rich.
Right. But there are all like, I mean, that's kind of available now. Like you have like the original Rich Dad book is available on YouTube for free as an audiobook. But, and millions of people have listened to it. It's got like a couple million views on it. But that's still,
it's the awareness is where the issue's coming right. in. There's only a small percentage of the people where the difference with this would be is if you have the president up on that's on every channel across the news, on every station all at once saying, hey, we are now going to give you financial education for free. I want you to go to this website right now. Dot, 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 dot. And that happens, you know, over a period of a few weeks. You would have half the country or more inside a month starting to do the training.
Right.
Especially if the president says, you do this by the time I'm done being president, you will be financially free.
Yeah. And I think that's, so, you know, people ask me this question a lot, like, well, what makes you think you're, well, no, hold on. Well, they asked me that question too, but, they ask, I'm trying to figure out exactly how to relate this to you. They ask, because I say, you know, we need a good leader, right? Who are you going to select as your leader? And some people say, well, we don't need a leader, but I think, like, even let's say this, you know, we have this giant circus of an election every year to select a new person, and whether it's, you know, 1 year, 4 years, whatever, as our leader, even if that person is not going to be in charge of the government, but that person is just going to be in charge of, you know, just like the face, the popular, the one who's been selected to quote unquote lead us, what does that actually mean? And do we actually want that? Because like, if you think about like the purpose of government and like why it was even created and why so many people accepted it, it's really because like, I mean, yes, because half the time they have a gun to their face, but it's also because a lot of people are sold on it that, you know, hey, there are bigger problems that in this world that you cannot solve on your own, and we need to come together to solve those. And in some ways we have these things like we'll have like consortiums of like scientific researchers and advisors and internet people to like figure this out. It works all the time in like the the internet research niche with open source software, and it works really well. But for the average person, we have like our big life problems, and we have world problems like global warming and everything else. Now, not global warming, climate change, whatever they're calling it today, right?
pollution, the air, water,
yes,
food. You
there
know?
We go. The environment, it is a huge problem that involves billions of people. What do we do about it? And that doesn't mean that we need to elect somebody who's going to come in and say, we're going to create a new tax, and we're going to put guns in people's faces and force them to behave a certain way. But
oh, the carbon tax.
Yeah. But it could mean that like, okay, well, this is a problem. This is something that involves all of us. I want to set up a consortium of scientists and researchers so that we can at least figure out what the problem is. And if the answer is don't use straws, then that doesn't mean we have to ban straws. We just have to tell everybody stop using straws, and most people will understand, okay, let's look for an alternative. And they have.
Okay, the plastic one's huge for me. And as you know, the environment's big for me. And one of my big projects is to take the plastic around the world, recycle it into giant Lego blocks that we can link together and create floating island farms.
Yeah, I mean it sounds like a crazy idea, but it's absolutely
the physics works.
Possible. And then stop using plastic for everything. Like hemp-based plastics are an alternative. Like
and that's where I was just about to go into. It's like the problem is trying to change what the masses do. Where the plastic problem, yes, we got to deal with what's already here, but it's really easy to say, okay, you 10 companies that produce 95% of the plastic, you are all going to some type of biodegradable. We don't care how you do it, just make it biodegradable. Don't care whether it's hemp, cotton, whatever, just do it. And then the consumers can just go about their lives and it's not a big deal.
Well, I think like at the same point, because there's a question of how do you make them do it, right? Because I don't want to use government force to like tell them or tax them or, you know, to force them to do it. But the way I see it, they would be doing that anyway if hemp weren't so prohibited and regulated, which is making it so unavailable. Because in my opinion, consumers are going to buy more products because they want the hemp stuff, knowing that it's better than plastic. So you have that to force them. But also I think the cost is going to be lower if all these regulations and restrictions weren't there.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And that's one thing I will give Trump something. He did re-legalize the hemp industry nationwide, which I know over the next year or two, we'll start really see kick up with production. Because if you go back to 1900 again, 90% of the fuel oil in this country was made from hemp. Even Henry Ford's original, either Model A or Model T, I forget which one of the two, was like 70% hemp by weight. It was made to run on hemp ethanol, so it was completely clean-burning fuels without any of the toxic chemicals and stuff like that. And that's how it was originally. And to do this, like to get the industries to switch, you don't have to do it through regulation. You merely have to convince one business owner to switch. And then you can use public opinion. It's like, hey, this is the better option. And let the money, people's money spending get shifted overnight. And then suddenly the whole industry shifts because that's what people want.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of, you know, like you said, the public opinion on that. If you have somebody, I mean, look, if every year, instead of electing a president, we elect a leader, and that leader can be a celebrity, it can be, you know, whoever, like, but we should elect them based on their intelligence somehow. And like, yeah, that guy's really cool, but he's also really smart. Okay, fine. And if we elect somebody like that to basically say, you know, well, I don't want to do all the research and make all the decisions for myself, but I want him to, because we trust him with these decisions, I want him to tell me what kind of straws I should be using. And whatever he says, he's not going to force me to use those, but I'm gonna trust him. And maybe if I trust him on 90% of the things, but I don't trust him on everything, then like, okay, yeah, a couple of those things I'll deviate until I'm convinced that's the best way. But if it's a great idea, you don't need to use force. And
exactly.
That's how we should be looking at it.
Okay, let's look at the American economy. The reason it is doing as well as it is right now, it's not anything Trump has done through procedure or anything like that. I don't get me wrong, that, you know, a lot of the business owners like tax cuts, and that did invigorate things a little bit in the short term. But it's more that they know this president is a businessman. He is going to support business. I might disagree with him on the Keystone Pipeline and several other things, but he's pro-business. So every business person I have talked to, I mean, it's almost 9 out of 10 are, let's go Trump. Because they're going to make more money, which means they can pay their employees more money, which, you know, just right down the line.
Right.
And when you're talking to the Robert Kiyosakis and the other experts in real estate, as I'm getting more into this myself as well, they are expecting the next bubble to crash between 1 to 2 years from now, because the feds, you know, with their fake money and everything else, has just been destroying the dollar. So the current beliefs for the markets now is if a Democrat gets elected, the market will crash almost overnight from the time they're elected, where they think Trump can keep it going for a possible 1 to 2 more years by forcing the Fed into negative interest rates.
Which, oh my God, you just said a trigger word.
Negative interest?
Negative interest. Oh man.
What's that mean? They pay you for borrowing money?
they pay you to borrow their money. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, so stupid. I mean,
but
and on top of
this
that,
this is why,
like,
it's no point saving. You need to be investing.
Yeah, well, but what does that mean? Like, you're gonna deposit your money in a bank, and if it just sits there, it's going to subtract money from your account every month?
Basically, that's exactly what's happening.
But then if you borrow money, I mean, think about that. If you borrow money at a negative interest rate, so let's say you borrow money for a car, and of course, they're not going to do this on auto loans. The government's the only one who's going to get the negative interest rate. But
The banks and the bigger people,
You borrow money for a car, they give you $10,000, and then your first payment comes around, and all of a sudden, you only owe $9,998 because of the negative interest rate. So you make a payment on that, and it's kind of like they're helping you pay it off even faster, and you end up paying less than the $10,000 that you borrowed originally. What sense?
As long as you don't have any late payments and stuff, yeah.
Right. What sense does that make? It's, and here's the thing. When you have financial institutions that are going to be giving out loans like this, you have to understand that the only way they're going to be giving out loans like this is if, I mean, think about it, they're going to be losing money on, like, if they're lending out money with a negative interest rate, they're going to be losing money. That's the business they're in, to lend money and charge interest. What's the incentive that the government is going to give them to do that? Well, one, it's going to be mandate, but then why wouldn't somebody just say, well, screw it, if I'm not going to make any money, I'm out of business. So two, they have to basically pay them to make this happen, and they're going to do it with the Federal Reserve, but ultimately, where's that going to come from? Your income tax.
Look at Japan and stuff like that. It's crazy when you get into that.
It's really nuts. And it's, they're propping up a fake system so that they can have the illusion, or so that they can just manipulate markets.
Well, and that's why your housing prices are going up so fast. It's not that the value of the real estate is going up. It's that your dollar is devaluing that fast. Like in 2019, it was over 11% devalued.
Right, but consider this too. a specific market like housing, you can have inflation in prices in one market if you allow more loans in just that market. So for example, if they come up with a new program that says, we're going to allow all these new loans in real estate, but we're going to get rid of all the loans in education, in college, then what's going to happen is the cost of college is going to go down and the cost of houses are going to go way up. So it's still, they're not inflating the entire dollar itself by doing this. They're inflating specific markets. But then of course, inflating the dollar on top of that just adds to it.
Well, and then you have areas like San Francisco and Los Angeles. They have a huge homeless problem. Mm-hmm. And it's entirely self-created because they have so much regulation preventing the developers from building more houses, more apartment complexes. So now
manipulating the market again.
Yeah, it's up well over $1 million for like a little two-bedroom house in San Francisco, approaching $2 million now. And where people are paying $2,000 to $3,000 a month to rent a bunk bed in one bedroom in somebody's house.
And this is what, like, this is what people don't understand. Like, the people who are supporting this, like, who want these, you know, these protective practices there. And I've, believe me, I talked to, because I'm asking everybody for donations. You know, people who are landlords, they want their prices to go up. People who own property, this is like the stupid like mind fuck that everybody has with real estate. Oh, if you buy real estate, it'll just always go up. And it's like, except, well, once in a while a market's going to crash, but it'll always go up. And that's, no, it's still a house on a piece of land. The house still gets older and falls apart. The value still goes down. The value, if demand goes up because more people are moving to a city, then yes, it's going to go up. But if the population stays exactly the same, the value of that house should not rise at all, except for a couple of things: inflation and lending. And when you are manipulating the markets like that, if I own a piece of land and I say, hey, there's so many homeless people, let me tear down this house and build a 4-unit apartment building. And the government says, sorry, you're not allowed to. They are forcing the rent prices to go up. So when people complain that the rent is too high, that's your government. That's every time the government steps in to manipulate a market, they never manipulate it to bring things down and hurt people that are donating to these politicians. They always do things to manipulate for somebody's gain. That's always it, every single time. And so we have to just stop trusting government to fix problems that they're responsible for creating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the FDA and all these other things come in. You know, being in bed with the pharmaceutical companies and preventing, you know, the research being more public on vitamins, minerals, things like this that have been proven case and case again in Germany, in Britain, in Canada, and everything to work better than the pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then having the false monopolies that, you know, insulin's like $360 to $1,000 a month, when in Canada and Europe, it's $9 a month.
Yeah. And this is what trips me out about that. So, because I was looking into this one. There's three companies allowed to sell insulin in the United States. There's about 50 of them worldwide that make it. And so knowing that the Canadian market is like a fraction of what the U.S. market is, the U.S. manufacturers will export theirs to Canada and sell it at that lower price and still make a profit. But it's illegal to import back in the stuff that was originally exported from the United States because they don't want you to sell it in the U.S. and hurt their profits from the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
Well, and then things like antibiotics for, you know, penicillin, amoxicillin, things like that in India and Mexico and that. These are things that are sold over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
Here they want to extort you, charge you to go to the doctor, then charge you to go to a pharmacist. And then your insurance gets a piece and then they drop it back down for your copay.
Yep.
When you just buy it outright, it would be pennies on the dollar.
It's insane. And these are medications that have been around for like hundreds of years now that that we're talking about. They're even trying to figure out how to screw us on that. And then you've got vitamin B that they're trying to ban. I don't know if they ever got it. I think they tried to ban the injection form or something a while back, but it's
vitamin C is actually, and the vitamin E injections have been hit. They hit the manufacturer to stop that produces like the sterile bags,
mm-hmm.
and they redirected and aren't letting them use them for the infusions anymore. So they effectively took it off the market without officially banning it. And I've used it with cancer patients and stuff like that. So
yeah, that was a big thing. The there's a movie about that that like, oh man, that's what got me to really hate the FDA. What was that? The what was it? It was I can't even think of his name. The dude from Texas. He was like smuggling stuff. He ended up getting AIDS, I think, and he was like smuggling back vitamins from Mexico. I don't
Magic
know.
Johnson?
No. It was the fuck is the name of that movie? Now it's gonna be on my mind all day trying to figure that out.
Well, I'm also remembering all the look into Dr. Sebi, all of you, I totally recommend it. He actually won against the Supreme Court and going forward. And this is why Nipsey Hussle, that was looking to do a documentary on him and why he got killed, why Nipsey Hussle got assassinated just recently last year.
What was the Supreme Court case? I didn't hear about that.
It was about him curing cancer and a few other diseases.
And what they were and trying to say that
they were trying to shut him down and say he was practicing medicine and everything. And he proved that everything work and that it's all just one disease, inflammation. You just name it different things based on where it's at in the body and the breakdown of the cells. So it's going back to cell intelligence versus cell dominance. And this is where, you know, people say they don't want a leader, don't need a leader. But in order for this anarchist society to work out, it means without rulers, or more accurately, it means self-rule. Which means to be an anarchist, you have to be able to rule over your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions at the very least. And if you are not capable of that, you are not capable of being an anarchist. Thus, until society as a whole evolves to that level, it's just going to degrade back into government and things again.
Right. Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. Because there are people who aren't going to take that responsibility for their own life. But at the same time, I don't know. So let's say you have 1 million people who they don't want to, they don't want to maybe, like, let's just say they're a problem, right? It's 1 million people. They'd rather rain chaos on people. They don't want to observe any type of law and order under an anarchist system because, you know, well, who's gonna track me down, right? Who's gonna stop me? And if you had 1 million people like that, would you create a system that would then figure out how to control those people preemptively? But then you get into the problem of, okay, but if you do that, first of all, if it's preemptive, then they haven't done anything yet. And second of all, how do you distinguish
between... And that's
already
existing.
Yeah, it's the system
that
we have now.
With Facebook, YouTube, and Google, the technocracy.
Right, but so the problem is, if you were to implement a system like that selectively and say, oh, you know, like let's say, hypothetically, you could say, okay, you're qualified to be an anarchist because you have demonstrated that you're able to rule yourself. We will grant you sovereignty and recognize your sovereignty as an individual, and we'll leave you alone. But to this other person over here, they just don't get it. We're going to rule over them. Is like, I don't know. It's an interesting problem, I think, to solve or to at least examine. Not that I think this should be in any way implemented in the real world, but I think. In examining this type of hypothetical situation, we might find some interesting answers to other problems and solutions that we've never thought of before that, you know, just might give us interesting insight into the way society functions.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally here. And, you know, and for most people, the subconscious rules 95 to 99% of their actions. And most of our programming happens by age 7 when we're in the theta state, which is why the environment and things and, you know, all the different things kids get to see on TV that weren't there 30, 40 years ago is why so many behaviors change. So, you know, you can completely change an entire civilization in one generation. by the way you educate the children. So, you know, those ones that are set in their ways, you know, the baby boomers, the whatever the case may be, let them die off and teach the children the tools to be free thinkers. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, it's like you're 70, let you live to 78, 80, whatever, when you're finally passed away natural. But that's only another 10 or 15 years. And in the grand scheme of human history, it's but a blink, a click of the fingers.
Right.
And we have the technology now to where everyone could live at a quality as good as the rich and elites do right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the poorest people in America, except for maybe those who have had their homes stripped away, have a higher standard of living than kings in Europe, just like 100 or 200 years ago. Running water that's delivered right to your faucet that you can drink from thousands of miles away. Electricity, internet. Oh, man. Yeah. Ooh,
the electricity and the internet. These two are big ones, and these ones are going to be solved because, you know, with the libertarian mentality, it's not about government doing it. Let's do it from the private sector and voluntarily. So Tesla's already working on this with all their little mini satellites. And there's other companies doing the same to where pretty soon we're going to have blanket internet around the globe 24/7. And they could literally just open the source code and everybody have it unlimited and they wouldn't be able to block it or anything. And just imagine how much faster information is going to travel at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then the energy, the internal combustion engine has been obsolete for over 100 years now. Nikola Tesla already figured out how to pull electricity directly out of the ionosphere and electrolyze the atmosphere to where when you're walking around, these devices would just remain charged all the time. You know, we'd all be in flying cars and things like that had, you know, greed not been the issue and the capitalism that's built off of slavery.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one of the things with the island is to build that technology to such a level that we can release it around the world before it can be put back in the box.
Right.
And then we eliminate the oil barons and everything else.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. There's definitely a lot of technology that you know, it's been hidden from us because the people who have it know that they're going to lose money if they release it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, a lot of people are trying to like rediscover how those technologies worked to figure those out. And some people have. There's so much technology that we have. That's what Elon Musk is doing with his electric mm-hmm. cars. You know, he's
got it all open source, so everybody can see the plans.
Yeah, which was really awesome for him to do. So not all capitalists are bad, because he actually did something amazing for humanity by saying, look, here's the schematics. Anybody else can build a Tesla car because here's everything that you need to know about it. And but of course, nobody else has done it. And this is what's really interesting, I think, about capitalism is everybody thinks, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to keep my secrets and we need trademarks and patents and everything else. But the truth is, when you have technology like that, it's not even just a matter of knowing and understanding it. It's all of the energy you have to put into researching and building it and creating the process for mass manufacturing it, and then marketing it and showing that, you know, that you're able to do as good a job or better a job than the other company has been that's already got a, you know, a few years head start on you. It's really just having all the secrets doesn't really make it that easy for you. There's still mm-hmm. a lot you got to get through.
You have to be able to apply them, which is where most people fail.
Right. So, it's, you know, there's definitely that out there, and there are definitely a lot of capitalists who really do want to just improve the world. So, they're not all evil.
Absolutely. You know, rich people, poor people. And I love DuckTales because it's one of the few times you had a decent rich guy in it. But they've shown, and, you know, especially with the left in the movies, have really demonized the rich people. When I've looked at it, like, yeah, capitalism is kind of built off slavery and cheap labor. But most of those individuals, when you get into the upper echelons, especially when I lived out in Aspen, Colorado, that was full of billionaires, they have more integrity than the average poor person. Like, they're always looking, what can they build? What can they create? What can they give? Not just right. take.
Well, I think that's like, that's the difference of, like, capitalism is just the system. It's kind of like a gun, right? A gun is not good or bad. It's who's holding on to it. Yeah. And there were a lot of bad people, but if you took all of those bad people that were, you know, owning slaves and building plantations and all this other stuff, and you took them out of a capitalist system and you put them into some other system, they'd still be doing some really bad things.
Imagine how scary it'd be if they're in the socialist system.
Yeah. it's, and I think, like, you know, there are those types of people now, and they're trying to push a socialist system because they know there is a power structure that you can use against people if that's in place. So it's really, really dangerous. But anyway, Jedi, thank you so much for joining me on the show tonight. This was an awesome conversation. I'm glad we finally had some time to sit down and talk presidential candidate to presidential candidate.
Thank you, Daniel. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to give you an opportunity. We have your website on the screen. I put your link to alchemythemasterspath.com/my print's super tiny, Jedi for USA, and I wanted to make sure I said it right. That link is in the description for this video. If you want to plug the sites and talk a little bit about them.
Yeah, thank you. Because I had people talk to me about, oh, you're just trying to make money on the book. So to take that away, when you go to alchemythemasterspath.com, you can download the PDF for free. Like, you can still buy the book from Amazon, Lulu, Walmart, and all those other ones, or get the audio book. But if you just want to read it, it's free. And it has education, everything from quantum physics, neuroscience, psychology, and various medicinal fields to ancient cultures around the world to help you regain control of your thoughts and your emotions. And if you really want more freedom, you know, connect with people like Dan Berman, you know, Taxation and Theft, or me, Jedi for USA, or Alchemist Jedi. And, you know, may the force be with you always.
Nice. Awesome, man. Thanks again for joining us, and look for this on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, share, like, comment, invite your friends, everything else. And of course, donate to your favorite presidential candidate, whether it's myself or Jedi or any of the other amazing people running. We do need your help and your money to get this message out to a lot of people. And of course, go to the taxationistheft.cards shop, where you can get all of your t-shirts, mugs, hats, all kinds of cool stuff. Thanks again, guys. I'll catch you next time. Taxation is theft.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.